ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5.
Now for something completely different.
We're gonna bring it all together.
Cause that's the bottom line.
Now that's an intro, ladies and gentlemen. Scooter Reynolds on the ones and twos. Welcome to the bottom line with Brad Taylor, where cashing tickets is all about. Happy Sunday morning to you. I am Brad Taylor along with my good friend Angelo on the ones and twos. Thank you for joining us this morning here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM. If you want to call us, 381-1313, we will talk to you. And we'll talk to you about a lot of things, but we're going to start today's show, Major League Baseball, because, well, it's the only game in town. And if you've been kind of investing in these games, and we've been kind of trying to invest in these games a little bit here and there, if you're a chalk-pushing guy who likes to pick the favorites, boy, you were happy Thursday and Friday. 14-2 favorites went in baseball games, but the Dogs got their revenge yesterday, going 9-6. So if you're playing the Dogs like we like to do, yesterday was a good day, but you chalk-pushers got the best of us on Thursday and Friday. But the big news in Cincinnati is we're the home of the Reds here at ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5. The Reds lost. They're now 1-1 on the season, but everything looked great after six innings. Luis Castillo, six innings, only gave up one earned run, 11 strikeouts against the Detroit Tigers, 47 wins last year. We talked about this last week. They've got to take advantage of this schedule, the 20 games they have against the Pirates, the Royals, and the Tigers, who lost a combined 310 games last year. You have to take advantage of that schedule because in a shortened season, that schedule means a lot. So all of a sudden, the Reds, they're leading. Castillo gives it up to the bullpen. Stevenson gives up two earned runs. Lorenzen, who said before the year, hey, why don't you just pitch me all 60 games? Well, after yesterday, we don't think we'll see that. He gave up a run. And of course, the whipping boy for today, Raisel Iglesias, the dumpster fire that he is, in a non-save situation. Gives up two earned runs, and the Reds lose a game they should have won. We talked about this last week, the bullpen. Both the Reds and the Cardinals last year were leading 69 times after five innings. The Reds won 75, the Cardinals won 91. Is that because of the bullpen? Is that because David Bell doesn't know what he's doing and uses the bullpen wrong, like bringing Iglesias in a non-save situation? Is it because they don't have much on their bench? All those could be argued. We don't have the time to sit here and do it this week on this show, but I will say this. The way David Bell has used that bullpen in the past, last year, and the way that bullpen has performed, especially Iglesias, that's a very questionable task when you get to the end of these games and you're depending on these guys from that Reds bullpen to close out these games when you're winning. Raisel Iglesias last year, he's 30 years old now. It's not like he's a spring chicken anymore. He went 3-12. Wins and losses don't matter in Major League Baseball. From 2016 to 2018, he averaged 75 innings a year with a 2.47 ERA. In the last 2 years, he averaged 29 saves. Good. But last year, Iglesias' ERA jumps to 4.16 in only 67 innings. So the big key, though, with Iglesias, when he's brought in to non-save situations, when the money's not on the line and he doesn't get to put that save in the book, all hell breaks loose in terms of Iglesias' performance, both on the field and seemingly with David Bell not knowing how to use him or anybody else in the Reds bullpen in a tie game, as opposed to a game where all you have to do is get three outs with a three-run lead in the ninth inning. So the Reds now 1-1. Is it a disappointment? Is today a must-win game? Are we to the point of the season where the third game of the year against the worst team in baseball last year is now a must-win game? Maybe it is. I think my good friend Angelo would like to chime in on this.
Well, everybody says that baseball, and even in the 162-game format, that every game counts. And I thought that at the end of 2019, it really showed. Even back to 2018, as the people that listen to our station know that I'm a resident Chicago Cubs fan. I know, boo. But Chicago had the best record in the NL, and then in the final 3 days of the year, they lost the... They lost the division lead, and then they lost the playoff game for the division, and then they lost to the Rockies and were out of the playoffs. So if you have that type of margin for error, that thin a margin for error in 162 games, how imagine the condensed version of 60 game. So I would have to say that every single game is essentially a must-win to try to make the playoffs this year.
Mathematically, every game is worth 2.7 games in a normal season. So there's your math right there, Angelo. Miguel Cabrera, he had a home run yesterday. He looks about 55 years old out there. Tied him with two people, Lou Gehrig, Hall of Famer. Fred McGriff, should be a Hall of Famer, played for the Braves back in the day. Also, great from those Tom Emanski videos. I was asking Angelo about that before the show. Has no idea who Tom Emanski is. People of my age, of my ilk out there, they're all shaking their head right now, Angelo. I hope you're happy with yourself. You millennials don't have any idea. Tom Emanski, you can YouTube it after this show.
I will.
Thank you. Thank you for placating me, at least on the radio. So the Reds have started out 1-1. Are they underachieving? In the desert they are, because they've been big favorites in both games. Eugenio Suarez, 49 home runs last year. He's 0 for 8 this year. Nick Senzel, a guy who we don't have a whole lot of faith in based on numbers, he's already 0 for 7. By the way, this is a kid last year. Everybody has all these high hopes in him. He was 18th on the Reds in win above replacement last year. 18th on his own team, and that's despite having 414 plate appearances. So it's not like he wasn't given a chance. This guy just may not be worthy of that second overall draft pick they got him with a few years ago. Good news for the Reds. Well, depending on how you look at it, Matt Davidson, the opening day DH, now on the injured list with COVID-19. So now, Aristides Aquino, who hit 19 home runs in 2 months last year. How is he not on the team? He gets called up and will probably, we don't have the official lineups yet, probably be the DH today. Do you remember Aquino last year?
Are you kidding me? I went to a Reds game when he was in the lineup, and I tell you what, I've been to my fair share of baseball games. I've never heard the ball come off the bat, the sound that the bat makes when it hits the ball, like it comes off of Aquino's bat. I am shocked that he wasn't given just a golden opportunity to go out there and prove himself like he did at the end of 2019.
19 home runs, 205 at-bats. You prorate that over a normal 600 at-bat season.
Are we talking about around 60 home runs?
Now we're talking close to it, but I mean, we're talking about a 50-plus George Foster type guy. You remember George Foster? You ever heard of that name?
Absolutely not.
Oh, gosh. There's a lot of people shaking their head out there now. But who's back? Joey Votto's back. 36-year-old. Already on the season hitting .500 with that monster on-base percentage of .556 already. By the way, the history of Major League Baseball, Joey Votto, you know, people underappreciate him. I've never seen a superstar more underappreciated in his hometown by the media, by his team, than Joey Votto. Marty Brenneman, you know, and God bless him for, you know, retiring when he did, hated Joey Votto. He came, oh, a man making $20 million to get more than 75 RBIs. Well, he's one of the best on-base percentage guys in the history of Major League Baseball. And when we come right down to it, what's the goal of getting on base? Of, you know, what's the goal of baseball? Getting on base.
Joey Votto is honestly, I would say he's probably the best first baseman, if not second best first baseman of his entire. If you look at the decade of the 2010s, Albert Pujols fell off. Who else could you say? Paul Goldschmidt is really the only other first baseman that comes off the top of your head that's better than Joey Votto. He's a Hall of Famer, and I think he's probably first ballot.
He'd be more appreciated in the American League as a DH, because defensively at first base, he's not that much. But if he was in a Boston with that green monster in left center where he hits a lot of his balls, if he played in a big market in the American League where he could DH, first ballot Hall of Famer. And in the history of Major League Baseball, only four players have led the league in on-base percentage seven times or more. Ted Williams, Babe Ruth, Barry Bonds, Joey Votto.
Those three guys that he's in company with sound like they're pretty good baseball players. At least I've heard of those guys, not your George Fosters. Those are some real guys right there.
He's not the best man on the ones and twos in the business for nothing, ladies and gentlemen. He's Angelo. He knows his baseball. But let's look at today. The Tigers and the Reds will finish their three-game series today. Spencer Turnbull. There's a household name for you. He'll go for the Tigers. He was 3-17 last year, but was it really that bad, considering he was playing on one of the worst teams in the history of Major League Baseball? 4.61 ERA, OPS Plus, one of our favorite stats, Angelo, where you take in, you compare your stats with other pitchers and bring in home park numbers.
One of those fake baseball stats?
It's not
just
fake.
Give me the wins and losses.
Well, yeah, you're one of those, you know, don't tell me about the labor pains, just show me the baby. You're one of those kind of guys. We are about analytics here at the bottom line. OPS plus 104, which means he was 4% better than the average pitcher being 100. Trevor Bauer, he was 11-13 last year, 4.48 ERA. His OPS plus 104 as well. So we're looking at two similar pitchers, but the key with Bauer was Cincinnati last year after that trade. He went 2-5, 6.39 ERA. His OPS plus 71, which means he was a very below average pitcher. We look at the money side of it. Let's look at the jelly bean side of it, like we do here on The Bottom Line, where cash and tickets is all about. And I'm your host, Brad Taylor, here on The Bottom Line. Turnbull, 8-25. Detroit is in his starts career, but he's only been favored in 3 of those 33 starts. And today, Turnbull on the road, career 6-10. He's made you money if you've bet on him every time. He has made you a 4.1% return on investment. Ah, you're shaking your head, Angelo. You don't get these kind of numbers anywhere else. There's nobody else talking about return on investments. There's nobody else talking about this. But Trevor Bauer, he had one good year, 2017, with Cleveland. And let's just face it, Cleveland's been very good over the last few years. 12-6, 2.21. This is 2017. In his 7 other seasons in baseball, he's never had an ERA under 4.19. In his career starts, his teams are 95-88. But you're losing 5% return on investment out in the desert if you go with Trevor Bauer every time.
You lose Taylor Trammell, your best outfield prospect in the minors for him. I hated that trade when it happened, and it doesn't seem like it's going to pay off.
More negative numbers on Trevor Bauer if you can't see where we're going this way, on this one. Trevor Bauer is a favorite. He's 66-57. He's losing you 11% return on investment. Career versus Detroit. Keep in mind, Detroit has stunk for a long time. Cleveland's been really good for a long time. Career versus Detroit, Trevor Bauer, 10-9. And he was favored in almost all those games.
The wins and losses, there we go.
Wins and losses, minus 11% ROI. With Cincinnati against anybody, Trevor Bauer last year in 10 starts, his team, the Reds, went 3-7. You lost 30% return on investment if you bet on Bauer every time he took the mound. And here's the tip of all icebergs right here, Angelo. Trevor Bauer, with the Reds last year as a favorite, as you're covering your mouth trying to laugh, he was 0-3. That's a $5 fine for my phone being on, ladies and gentlemen. Minus 100% return on investment. So why in good God's name should we go with Trevor Bauer today?
Well, I mean, if you want to return on if you want to cheer for the Reds, I would say bet on them and try to put your hope in that. But it seems like you said, the ROIs, man, the ROIs aren't there.
Oh, but I'm going to really freak your mind out right here, Angelo. The trend of the day, since 2005, in games 2 and 3 of the season, if you went all over Major League Baseball, road dogs 83-70, that's 54-2. That's 54.2% in 153-game sample size. If you put $1 on all 153 of those games, you'd be up right now $61.11. The Tigers today fit that trend. We're going to take the Tigers. Getting a lot of money. You're getting a lot of bang for your buck. We had them yesterday. We got proof on that, Angelo. We said that,
yeah,
to
we
you.
Do.
Yes, we do.
Pizza money.
Pizza money. A little pizza money on these games. So, yes, we are taking the Tigers today, getting a lot of money here on The Bottom Line. That does it for the first segment here. Coming up after the break, our good friend Keith Farmer from WLAX 18, the Action News here in town. He'll come on the air and talk about what little he's been doing for the last 4 months, basically being a bum around town and playing golf as he did yesterday and bragged about it all over Twitter. That comes up next here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. But first, Clark's Auto Repair Service and Auto Service and Repair, Bill Clark, my good friend, and his team are open during the entire pandemic. They've nonstop business for them, just like always. They fixed my car a couple of months ago. Runs perfect right now, so I couldn't recommend anyone higher. Bill Clark at Clark's Auto Service and Repair, 764 Westland Drive, 859-253-1278. Check them out online, clarksautolexington.com. Welcome back to The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, where cashing tickets is what it's all about here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM. Feel free to call us 381-1313 if you want to talk to us later in the show. But for now, we have a very special guest, using the term special very loosely. He is the lead sports anchor of the LAX 18 Action News, dedicated, determined, and dependable. He is right now, apparently, according to Angelo, he's out playing golf as we speak, and he will pay top dollar for a Louis Lips rookie card if you've got one. He's our old friend, Keith Farmer. Keith, how are you doing, my friend?
Well, actually, I have every one of the Louis Lips cards. So,
well, you must be you should retire now.
One Lynn Swan that I'm missing, so that's the one I'm looking for.
Oh, Stallworth was better than Swan. I'm sorry. I don't understand.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. Jack Tatum will tell you that. May he rest in peace.
He was a heck of a blocker, too, huh?
Well, that's another story altogether. Go look at those old 70s films. Back when we were kids, people don't understand. People like Angelo don't understand. You either liked the Cowboys or the Steelers back in the day. You had no other choices. That was it.
That is pretty much true. I mean, back in the day when we were growing up, that was it. You might have been fed another team or two on TV, but you know, if it wasn't the Stars or the Black and Gold, you were, I don't know why you were picking another team.
So you're out playing golf. You played golf yesterday too. Is it in honor of Judge Smale's 40-year anniversary with Caddyshack?
Exactly. Yeah. That yesterday was just, you know, the tune-up, trying to get ready for today, and now today I'm trying to do the thing the right way.
Well,
we'll see.
As I told you yesterday, I'm sure that tee shot went straight to the lumber yards, Noonan. But that's another story for another day. So what have you been up to? You got the best job in the world right now. Local sports anchor, nothing to talk about for 4 months. How do you look yourself in the mirror collecting those paychecks right now?
Well, I'll tell you, for a while there, I wasn't even doing that. I mean, we didn't do sports at LAX 18 for probably a month or a month and a half, and then all of a sudden we brought it back, and now I'm doing it from home. So you can't beat that, you know, get off the set, walk down, get in bed. You know, that's it. But it's been tough, but, you know, you got to think about this, too. This time, normally, in a year, we don't have a whole lot to talk about, at least not locally. So we're usually talking a lot of Reds anyway, and maybe some NBA kind of news with some of the UK players, things like that. So, you know, it's kind of a typical summer right now, although, you know, now being that we're finally getting back some of these sports that we would talk about. So it's different, but at the same time, I think it's going to be a whole lot different if things don't change once we get to August and have high school football and Kentucky football and that kind of thing.
Now, I know you. You're a derby guy. You're the guy who gets to sit up there at the podium and have your little microphone, mm-hmm. and you put on your little suit, and you get to wave at all the women with the derby hats on and the summer dresses. Are you going to be able to do that this year? Are we going to have fans? Are you going to be able to put some bets down at the derby this year, Farmer?
I think they're going to have – I mean, look, Bristol did the NASCAR race pretty right, I thought. You know, 100,000 seat, small, intimate stadium, and they did 25%, and I think it worked out well. So I think – a lot of people can learn from that, and I think one of those being the Derby, because it is such a massive place that 25%, you know, really wouldn't be too terribly bad. I think, you know, you could do that, and everybody could be socially distanced apart, and I think you can lay your bet. Now, you know, we saw at Keeneland and even Churchill, when they didn't have fans at some of these meets, they had bigger handles than they did before with fans being there. So, you know, I don't think the betting is the big issue. I just think are the eyeballs going to be there to watch it in person?
Now, our tagline here on this show, cash and tickets, is what it's all about. Farmer said he had a lot of winners last year at the Derby of the Oaks, but he couldn't get away from his little podium to go to the windows. I don't know if we should trust him on that one, ladies and gentlemen. But
you can't trust me, but you can trust the person that was sitting next to me that heard me call. So, yeah.
Yeah, a little hush money. I could give Angelo a $5 bill. He'll say anything I want him to say over here right now himself.
$5. Angelo would take three. Come on now.
That's true. He is. I've noticed already he's very cheap, but that's good. That's good for me. That's going to keep a lot of money out of my pocket. So, we'll listen for Farmer. Maybe we'll have you back and give you your expert derby picks so we know who to fade, go against when the derby comes up.
Oh, come on now.
Well, but hey, it's baseball season. We got baseball. I know you're a huge baseball fan, Farmer. Depending on what day it is, you're a huge baseball fan as you laugh. The Reds, 1-1. Are we getting a big clamor now that we finally have? Is that what you're going to lead your local sports with now?
You're going to be seeing a lot of Reds, that's for sure. And, you know, by this week, you're going to start seeing a lot of NBA. So, yes, that's definitely going to be a couple of the sports. I mean, heck, what else are we going to talk about other than – you know, on Tuesday we may find out what's going to happen with high school sports because KHSAA is scheduled to meet. So, you know, we may know, I don't know if they're going to necessarily announce, you know, this is what we're doing, but I think we're getting a really strong update as they go into August.
Now, since you have this alleged inside knowledge, which we all know, I don't trust you at all, but everybody else out there, they all trust you for some reason. Do you think we're going to have a college football season, just conference games in the SEC? And you can touch on high school if you want to with that.
Angelo, if I'm no insider, why did he call me up and have me on the show?
I don't know, Keith.
It's called filler material. I need something to fill up this show, Farmer. Oh, you're supposed to help me.
Maybe I'll just go a little shorter here then.
He's got some balls to hit, Brad. Be careful.
He is on the fairway there at the 18th. Yeah, so here we go.
College. It worries me when I see a team like Michigan State having to sit out, you know, the entire team. When you see, I mean, obviously Clemson came through it much earlier, which is good. But what's going to happen when we have a team that does this during the regular season and all of a sudden they've got to sit out a game or two? I think it could happen at the college level. I think it is going to happen at the pro level. High school, I really don't know what they're going to do. I think they may end up going a shortened season, and it might start a little bit later. But again, they're having real issues at the high school level now, where teams are having to, you know, sit out here and there. So I'd like to say we're going to have it. In some aspects, I think, why are we talking about this? I feel like, safety's sake, we shouldn't be playing football. At the same time, you know, dollars are driving the sport in college. High school, I think they just hate to have kids miss out on a senior season like they did in spring.
Let's be in a little dream world like you're always in, Farmer. Let's play in a little dream world for a minute. UK football, 6.5 wins out in the desert. If I'm out in the desert, do I go over and under that, in your opinion, Farmer?
You go, well, all right, we're talking regular full season.
If in theory,
playing the schedule they have,
yes,
I go over.
Over. You got a reason why?
Because I think this is a darn good football team that they put together, and I think obviously it's going to hinge on how healthy is Terry Wilson, but I really think that this is a solid team, especially defensively, which is where a lot of times it starts. And I just really believe in what Coach Stoops has been doing with this program, and I don't see why they can't get the 7 wins.
Yes or no? Are they beating Louisville this year?
Oh, yeah. Heck, yeah.
Really? What if I told you that they're an underdog out in an advanced line out in Las Vegas? What if I told you Louisville's favorite in that game?
Not shocked. I mean, Kentucky's never favored. You know, they get no love. So no, it doesn't shock me. Why? I can't tell you. I'm you know, not all into the betting game necessarily. So I can't
That's
tell
good
you
for
why.
Your family's sake. I can promise you that.
We need more Keith Farmer on this show, Brad.
No,
see,
don't.
I like what he's saying. I like that. I like that.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor and Keith Farmer's final appearance here on the show. Couple more quick questions. You do know that Terry Wilson is – are you still on the – you've heard me talk about Terry Wilson before. You think he's going to be the difference maker this year, all those numbers pointing to say he's not?
I think he's going to be the difference maker as far as giving them somebody under center that's ready to go and ready to lead the offense. And who knows if they get Joey Gatewood cleared, then that even helps them even more. I think there's a chance that either of those guys could be the guys that lead them. I just think after that, you're not real certain.
I think Gatewood's going to get a shot before the year's over. A couple more quick questions so we can let you get back to your, you know, precious little golf game out there on the lower 40 there, Farmer. Were you one of these people back during basketball season, did you really think Kentucky was going to make the Final Four?
No. No, I wasn't. I thought they could make a decent run, but I didn't think this was a Final Four team. Not like Cal was making it sound. I think it's easier when you don't play it to say, oh, this was the team that was going to make a run for a championship. I thought they were good. I think they make 16, possibly 8, depending on the draw, because the draw is everything. But I didn't think it was a Final Four team. Now, this year's team coming up, if they get to play, it's a championship caliber team. I really believe it, especially if they get star cleared.
Keith Farmer, we appreciate you coming on the show with us. This is my second show here on ESPN Radio, Lexington. I really appreciate you.
I wasn't on the first.
No, you weren't on the first. I was not going to have you on the first show no matter what happens. And this is also your last appearance on The Bottom Line.
Yeah,
so I hope you've enjoyed yourself. Best wishes. This is why, Angelo, this is why I don't get invited to high school reunions. Because Farmer has intentionally not told me of any of these high school reunions. That's not a shock at all.
Well,
is
he's probably going to invite me because I'm all about that. And plus, Keith never told me that he graduated from Madison Central just like me. So I'm surprised that we never hashed old stories, you know, we had.
What?
I'll take your place.
Too?
I graduated from Central 2010, sir.
Well, I will say this. Oh, of the three of us, all of us graduated from Madison Central, one of us won a senior superlative award. I think we all know who that one person is. Keith Farmer, thank you so much for joining us here on The Bottom Line. Tell us where we can find you on Twitter and where we can find you on TV. You're all over the place. You're on every show now.
Yeah, I'm on Hey Kentucky and then also doing the normal 6 and 11 o'clock sports. And that's where you can find me. And Keith Farmer 18 on Twitter. That's where you can find me. So, give us a follow, and we'll try and keep you up to date on what all is going on.
Keith Farmer, my friend, all the best to you and your family. We think the world of you, and we are very appreciative of you coming on The Bottom Line here this morning.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it, guys.
Hit them straight, baby. That's Keith Farmer of the LEX 18 Action News, live, local, and late breaking. Coming up after the break, we'll be talking fantasy football with Farrell Elliott of the KFFSC. So stay tuned for that here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5, The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. But first, it's the best time in a long time to invest in real estate. Trey McCauley, my good friend, has a perfect 5-star rating on Zillow. You can contact him today, 859-312-7599. And you can look at him online, bestlexingtonhomes.com. Hey, why you wanna go and do that? Can't help but notice how you're glowing. I can see in your face now. I just wonder if you know you're close to being replaced. Welcome back to The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, where cashing tickets is all about. 381-1313 if you want to give us a call and talk to us in the final segment. But first, how would you like to win $15,000 this fall? Here's the man you need to get in contact with. There are drafts in Cincinnati on August 23rd and in Louisville from August 28th to August 30th. There's plenty of leagues still available, but I have seen that some have sold out looking at their website this morning, as fantasy players are recognizing that there's going to be a full 17-week season. He is the head honcho and commissioner of the KFFSC Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. He's our old friend, Farrell Elliott. Farrell, how are you this morning, buddy?
Good morning, brother. I am doing fine, and I have discovered early this morning that Angelo's got a little fantasy football swagger in your production booth. So it's Brad, they're throwing down over there at the station.
Oh yeah, we've already tried to throw down a couple times, but I keep telling them I'm too old to throw down with him. So I get out of it that way. You know, I claim old age. You know, my age starts with a 5 now. So yeah, I've finally got out of that. But hey, Farrell, you know, people are finally realizing we got all these labor issues settled in the NFL. Preseason got canceled, but there's going to be, it looks like, a full season, and everybody, ownership, players, everybody's on board. Is that how you, from an agent's perspective, how you are connected with the league, is that how you're seeing it as well?
Exactly. We've been predicting that since March, and it's really nice to be on the right side of history and really nice to be correct about something, especially when it affects so many people. And, you know, I've heard from so many players in the fantasy world this week that says that they're aching to get started and they wonder what the season's going to look like. And I think, that naturally the league is going to bend to fight the virus, but they've bent in a way that they're going to have a successful outcome, just like they had a successful start. And so if you were hampered in making any of your fantasy football decisions based on what the possibility was of seeing football in the full season, surely you've been buoyed a little bit and encouraged by what you've seen this week. And we told everyone last week that that's what they be. So we're off and running with good information, Brad.
Yeah. Well, there's a code. I'm going to teach Angelo something here. There's a code among a lot of men in this world, Angelo.
Mm-hmm.
There's a code among every man who's shook Sinatra's hand. There's a code among every man who's been at the tables in Vegas with friends of theirs. You don't cross those men, Angelo. I'm just letting you know this up front. Yeah, Farrell knows what I'm talking about.
Duly noted.
Yeah, come on in. The water's fine as far as Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. Let's get into some draft strategies this year, Farrell. Michael Thomas, receiver.
Oh, yeah.
149 receptions last year. NFL record. Why is he not going higher in these drafts, especially in a PPR league like the KFFSC is? Because for my money, outside of McCaffrey, Michael Thomas might be the most valuable player in fantasy football this year.
Especially in a PPR league where you must start three wide receivers. And Michael Thomas will be the first receiver off the board. Last night, your old pal Robbie Fesher on one of our podcasts says that Michael Thomas is his fourth pick behind the three running backs, McCaffrey, Barkley, and Ezekiel Elliott. And I think that's where he should go. And if he's not, you're making a mistake, even in a league where you don't have to start three, Brad. Now, those targets may increase this year, although Emmanuel Sanders in that offense gives them a great 1-2 punch.
You think Sanders takes anything away from Thomas?
Not takes anything away, but opens up opportunities for Thomas. It would be great to see what Thomas could do if he didn't have to work so hard.
You're privy to all these average draft positions, where these players are going in drafts. Dalvin Cook, one day you hear the agent saying, oh, he's not reporting. Next day people say, oh, he is reporting no matter what. Is his average draft position, is it getting affected in any way? Because without all this drama, he's a top 10 pick easy.
With that, yes, top 10, top 6. But, you know, the more uncertainty that we have to live with Dalvin, the more we're likely to look somewhere else. And there's a very good handcuff with Dalvin, so that might allow you, the Madison kid out of Boise State, the backup running back, is one of the more functional handcuffs in the league. So if you're going to draft early, if you're going to draft Dalvin early, look towards Madison as a worthwhile insurance policy.
And just a reminder on Dalvin Cook, he only played 15 of his first 32 career games, and he has injury issues dating back to Florida State. So I would say that there is a big injury risk, even though last year he was easily one of the best running backs in the league.
See, look, Angelo, he knows his fantasy football, too. He was just telling me during the break how he always gets to his championship game and always loses. But, hey, I'm not putting his business on Front Street or anything. Now, I don't mean to embarrass him on radio. One more question before I let you go, Farrell. Christian McCaffrey, we're looking at these bye weeks. And we're talking about KFFSC now. Before you get to the league championships and the playoffs late in the year, there's a bye week, week 13. Christian McCaffrey will be in that week 13 bye week for your league championship game. Now, it won't determine who wins the KFFSC overall title, but it will determine who wins your little 12-man league to get to those games. Do you think any way, shape, or form you should change your draft strategy with any of these week 13 bye guys for that reason alone?
You can pick where you're going to draft in the KFFSC through our auction process with your free agent dollars. So if you want McCaffrey on your team, you're going to have to pick him first. But I certainly wouldn't pick him on every team because of that. And you should have a strategy in that situation, Brad. You should have three good running backs as you prepare for that Week 13 game and hope you can find someone on the waiver wire. McCaffrey's numbers weekly are hard to replace, and you want to win that championship game. That championship game in Week 13 in the KFFSC is worth $1,000 plus a beautiful trophy plus bragging rights. You and Angelo are going to get some this year, and I hope our listeners will too.
Well, I'm looking to have one running back by Week 13 that I can play. Farrell, tell us where we can find your information online and on social media and everything like that.
Online, KFFSC.com, Facebook page, Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. And the best thing to do is give me a call. I love talking fantasy football. We'll go and make you understand what the league's about and why you should be in it. 502-523-5057.
He's the best in the business, ladies and gentlemen, and he runs the best contest in the business. I can promise you that. He's Farrell Elliott of the KFFSC. Farrell, thanks for joining us again this week. We'll speak to you again soon, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Farrell Elliott, KFFSC. Angelo, you ready to play now?
Yeah, I am, actually.
You got the fever.
You know what? Fantasy football frustrates me at the year's end, but every time there's about to be a draft coming on and it's starting to get a little cooler, and I get into it. So, I'm back in.
You're going to go back. You're going to go up to Louisville with me.
I don't know if you know this about me, but I don't like losing.
So
when it comes to fantasy football, every year not bringing home the gold doesn't sit well with me.
Well, you're sitting in the right chair because we do nothing but pick winners on this show. So there's no need to worry about losing when you're sitting there, Angelo. You've come to the right place. So, yeah, the good Lord has shined upon you on this Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Angelo. We'll be right back after this message here on The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, where cash and tickets is what it's all about. But first, J&R Construction, our good friend Jimmy Skinny McKinney and his award-winning home remodeling company. They're the best in the business of what they do. I cannot tell you how many times I have had people come up to me and refer him to me when I've discussed things with my parents' home. They are in charge of design, build, remodel. They can do all that stuff. Virtual appointments now available for Skinny McKinney. He's located 633 West Main Street. His phone number, 859-225-0162. And check them out online to get those virtual appointments now. JRCSI.com. Welcome back to The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, where cashing tickets is all about here on ESPN Radio 1300 and 92.5 FM. 381-1313 if you want to join us here this morning. I'm here with my good friend Angelo behind the ones and twos, who's we have spent the entire commercial break. I've had to listen to his tales of woe about all his fantasy football teams that have just gone down at the very end of the season. What tough luck. What a heartbreak loser poor Angelo is. Thank you for giving me 3 minutes of commercials for doing nothing but telling me your hard luck fantasy football stories.
If you call me a good friend, that's what you expect. I know everybody listening that plays fantasy football has a friend that they have to always hear their crap, but also you get to tell them how you feel. So this is what you signed up for, Brad. Have fun.
Well, first of all, you're not my good friend if you keep telling me those stories like that every week. I can promise you that right now. But we've got other football news. Jamal Adams traded from the Jets to the Seahawks for Magic Beans and 2 number 1 draft picks. Who won that deal?
I think the Seattle Seahawks. I think both teams won the deal. And the reason why is because I think that with the price of 2 first-round picks, a lot of people think that's an overpay. I have this really crazy philosophy that a lot of people seem to not agree with, and that's when you acquire elite players, that's what this game is about. It's about winning Super Bowls, and how do you do that? You get elite players. Jamal Adams is objectively the best strong safety in football. If you look at what it takes to get a Jalen Ramsey, to get a Khalil Mack, to get guys of elite talent and caliber, you have to pay a price, and that price is 2 first-round picks. Also, if you go back and look at the first-round picks of the Seattle Seahawks over the last, half decade, it doesn't look good. You're talking about guys that are either fringe starters or really don't play, and they end up having to trade those picks along with other things for players because they keep whiffing on these first-round picks. So, get the first-round picks out of their hand. I think Jamal Adams really cleans up a lot of their back-end woes. And then if you look at the Jets, if he wanted out, 2 first-round picks to go with probably higher picks that you have gives you a lot of ammo to keep stocking up around Sam Darnold.
First-team All-Pro. He's as good a safety as there is in the league right now. But it's too much. I'm sorry. It's too much to give up 2 first-round picks for a safety.
Okay, so what do you think? I mean, the first-round picks that the Seattle Seahawks have had over the last couple of years, they don't really pan out. And I think that the safety for the Seahawks, no pun intended, is that they get a guy who is a proven. You don't have to watch the film or grind hard to figure out who Jamal Adams is. He is proven. He is an all-pro. He is an elite football player, an elite defensive player. And he's not just a defensive back. He can play on the line of scrimmage. He can play at the second level and, of course, at the third level. He is an all-around great defender. So I think if you're the Seahawks, it's probably is what do you say? The squeeze is worth the juice?
The juice is worth the squeeze, Angelo.
Whatever. You and your terminologies. Yeah, I think that's what this applies here.
It also teaches good first-team All-Pros, if I complain and whine enough, they'll get me out of town if I don't want to be in town. But another thing, too, you have to understand that he caught the Jets at the right moment. The coach, nobody really trusts the coach. And the owner, he's in a bit of trouble for some things he's been saying. So the iron was hot. Timing is everything in this world, Angelo. Timing was perfect for him to force his way out of town. He got his way out of town. But I still think that's a little too much for the Seahawks to give up. That's another story for another day. But I know you are an NBA guy. You love the NBA. You were telling me when your show starts, you're going to be talking about NBA stuff. Tom Thibodeau, the new coach of the New York Knicks. Your New York Knicks. Bernard King ain't walking through that door. Patrick Ewing ain't walking through that door. What do you think about this, and will the Knicks ever be good in our lifetime again?
Well, one, don't say your New York Knicks. I have never claimed to be a Knickerbocker fan, but I will say that Tom Thibodeau, for his faults, he is a good coach. He is a proven playoff coach. He went to Minnesota. He got Jimmy Butler. He was able to take that team to the playoffs. Obviously, what he did with the talent that he had in Chicago, which before Derrick Rose's injury, he was able to create a 60-win team that was the number one seed in the East. And I think this is kind of a perfect marriage for the short term, because what he has in New York is he's going to have the talent with R.J. Barrett, with Kevin Knox, with Mitchell Robinson. He has young, moldable talent on top of what's going to be another high draft pick this year. And you've seen what he kind of does to young guys. He makes them good. He gives them the minutes, a lot of minutes, and you got to be careful not to wear those guys down. But I think that if R.J. Barrett becomes the guy we think he can be and Kevin Knox ever realizes his potential, then you're going to start seeing this team maybe become an eighth seed, maybe become a seventh seed, maybe become a third seed, just depending on how the young guys develop under Thibodeau. So for the short term, I like it. Long term, that's to be determined.
What if I told you that the analytics say that Kevin Knox has been one of the worst players in the NBA each of the last 2 years?
That doesn't surprise me at all.
What if I told you that the analytics say R.J. Barrett is one of the worst players in the NBA this year?
I would say that at least with that one, you've seen flashes. And honestly, when it comes to someone with his mentality, I would expect a young man to improve as he gets older. He's only 19 or 20 years old. You got to give him some time to develop. Kevin Knox, on the other hand, you just haven't seen the things. Remember the West Virginia game where Kentucky was down 25 at half and Kevin Knox was the spark plug? That's the only moment he's had in 2 years, in 3 years. Kevin Knox frustrates me because I don't feel like his head is where it needs to be to go along with his immense talent.
Our best NBA bet is the New Orleans Pelicans to make the NBA playoffs. You can get good plus money on them right now. I got them at +290. Angelo has proof of that. Do you think the Zion thing, he's leaving the bubble, now he's back in the bubble. Do you think they're stretching things a little bit more for Zion than they would for a normal person? Because I have an example of this coming up after your reply.
I would say that they're going to have to do their due diligence regardless. Now, they did change some rules about it can be if you test negative upon arrival, it's, you know, you don't have to quarantine or something of that ilk. I do not think that this is some weird, like, ultimate conspiracy to make Zion Williamson the future of the NBA. He's going to be the future of the NBA in his time. It's just that I think that, yeah, of course they want him on TV. It will be good for ratings. It will be good for advertisements. But they're not going to risk the entire bubble just for Zion. I think that's a complete falsehood.
It all depends on who you are in life, Angelo. I want to teach you some life lessons on these Sunday mornings.
Well, somebody has to.
It all depends on who you are in life. Zion could go outside the bubble, come back. He's welcome with open arms. Why? He's the biggest TV ratings grabber in the NBA right now. A guy like Lou Williams could go out of town, go to Atlanta, go to Magic City. Google that, folks, if you don't know what that is. Go to Magic City. Come back into town. He's not so welcome with open arms. Lou Williams going to a nudie bar in Atlanta. Is that different than Zion going home from a family emergency? Should they be treated the same way? Because the NBA says, Zion, oh, come on back, sir. Oh, Lou Williams, you got to stay in the ATL. Maybe take another night at Magic City.
When it comes down to it, you got to play by the rules. If Zion Williamson notified the NBA that he had this emergency and then vacated said bubble, Lou Williams snuck off, took pictures with Louisville, Kentucky's own Jack Harlow on the internet, and went and did a frivolous thing of going to a, like you said, a dance club, which is just, it's not a family. I'll tell you what, that's not a family emergency, is to go to a dance club.
It depends on who you ask on that one. But I
guess
digress.
James Harden. But I guess, so that's the difference. So I think that this is a very apples to oranges cases here and why you can't really compare the two.
It seems the same to me. They both left the bubble. They both want to come back to the bubble. What's the difference? One went home to the family. The other went to the nudie bar. How is that different? I don't know. By the way, our Kentucky over-under 6.5 total wins. You're still on the over with that, right?
It just depends, like Keith Farmer said, about playing the full schedule. It really does. I think that what you're underestimating, Mr. Brad Taylor, is that Terry Wilson, if his knee comes back 100% healthy, you remember what he did in that Florida game. He changes games on the ground, and we saw what Eddie Grant was able to do with Lynn Bowden, who couldn't pass a football more than 10 yards without, you know, saying a prayer every time the ball left the TV screen. But so you get a guy that's probably 80% of the rudder Lynn Bowden is, but about 100% more of the passer than Lynn Bowden is. So maybe we can see Eddie Grant take some of those Lynn Bowden concepts and give them to Terry and put Terry in a better position to succeed than he was before.
I tuned you out when you said two things. One, I agree with Keith Farmer. I immediately am out when you say that. Two, if Terry Wilson... Yeah, I can't do that. I'm sorry. You're dealing in subjective.
Go back to the Florida game. Okay, go back to the Florida game and tell me those ground numbers and tell me what's subjective and what's
not.
We
will have to argue that next week, Angela. We are out of time today. Don't forget our Mac Daddy Stogie. Go with the Tigers against the Reds today, getting a lot of cash up at Great American Ballpark. If you've been with us yesterday, you would have been really happy with the results. Hopefully, they'll get it done again today for your wallets. But Reds fans, make sure to tune in this afternoon, 1 o'clock. Reds and Tigers right here on ESPN Radio 1300 92.5. Thank you so much for listening to The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, where cash and tickets is what it's all about. We'll see you next week here on ESPN Radio.